Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
You alright?
Happy New Year. You alright?
I'm alright. Happy New Year.
I fucked it up, haven't I?
Yeah. You proper caught me off guard then. Should we just do it for old time's sake, you alright?
Yeah, I'm alright. You alright?
Yeah, I'm alright.
I remember my nan thinking it was the funniest thing in the entire world when the opening credits of Dixon of Doc Green used to be the same every week.
What do you mean?
You know, Dixon the Doc Green, the old fucking black and white show about the copper. The opening credits would be the same every week. And it would kind of go to him, and then he'd do that thing, you know, like old coppers used to, where they dip down on their knees and go evening all. And on the Christmas one, he dipped down and went, Merry Christmas. And my nan thought that was the funniest thing ever, that it had always been the same, but he'd changed it. So I thought I'd introduce an Happy New Year at the last minute, but it hasn't worked like Dixon the Doc Green worked on my nan.
Well, it has been an Happy New Year. And we're here today to do January 1983, a new year.
I have to say, I'm impressed with that because I looked at January 1982's chart and I thought, this looks really fucking familiar. And so I'm like, oh, fuck, I've got the wrong year. So what? I thought, I know, old silly fucking bollocks.
Oh, no, have
you got Bucks Fizz, a land of make-believe at number one?
No. Oh, fuck, you really made me worry then. I've definitely got 83. Yeah, we're all good.
Cooking with gas.
Well, look, before we do anything, I've just pulled up the charts. And, I mean, if you look at the charts for January 2023, you're in them.
Well, yeah, you know, in the sales chart still. Hanging on by the fingernails.
Well, let's cast our mind back a couple of weeks to Christmas. There you are.
Well, it was only a week, though, but yeah.
I mean, that was all right, wasn't it?
Yeah, do you know what? It was all right, yeah. I like Pete. I could quite get used to being in the charts.
Do you reckon it's going to go to your head?
Yeah, probably.
Do you reckon the other three cunts are slagging you off?
Yeah, all the time. I mean, now I've got a different cunt bus that I travel on. I've got my own room in the travel lodge, and them three will have to share a double bed in the other one.
Oh, I would not want to be fucking stuck in a double bed with Jill.
No, you wouldn't want to be either side of his arse, would you?
No. I reckon he fidgets a lot in bed as well.
Yeah, because like, he don't wash his arse properly, so it's itchy all the time. He's scratching it, Lionel Richie, all night long, isn't it?
Oh, fucking hell. Well, today's episode is brought to you by our spot. Oh, no, we ain't got one, have we?
No, you fucked it up, didn't you?
I didn't fuck it up. You fucked it up with all your fucking rectal bleeding and AIDS talk.
I was just trying to mix it up a bit. How was I to know?
I mean, I think I'm done now offering people an opportunity to sponsor the podcast. I've done a couple of posts about it.
Any replies?
Well, a few people have just like tagged their mates in it, just going like, fucking hell, have a look at that. You could do that, and I think maybe
do you want me to do a little pitch?
Yeah, go on then, go for it.
Listen, you fucking cunts.
Oh, here we go.
If you've Well, if you got a business or something that you, you know, want to sponsor the podcast, just fucking sponsor the podcast. Like, fanny around like some kind of fucking cunt. Just fucking... Fucking sponsor. If you got, I don't know, like a, what, like a beer or something, it'd be good, wouldn't it? Or like
anything.
Why haven't you got a WKD?
Well, I don't know anyone at WKD.
Just fucking ring them up, you cunt.
They're probably owned by some fat cat brewery.
Yeah, you're right.
We but just they... want someone like a little tattoo shop, like Urban.
A little
like...
tattoo shop that, you know, just don't mind you saying rape.
There you go, right? Even your pitch ended with exactly the way that our sponsorship ended. Fucking hell. Like, I mean, yeah, for some reason, if you want to be associated with that kind of level of fucking filth and effing and jeffing, then, yeah, hit us up on the socials. Right.
We get good numbers.
I know we do. Right. Music, yeah?
Yeah. Did you have a good Christmas?
It was all right. I've just done a lot of work in clubs, haven't I?
Of course,
like,
yeah.
So just fucking looking at young people having a good time.
Like Jimmy Savile.
No, no,
he was looking at young people having the worst time of their life.
He was looking at young people having the best time of his life. Oh, fucking hell. Yeah, I'll tell you what, what I haven't seen yet. Is the Prince Andrew musical. Have you watched that yet?
Oh, no, I haven't seen it yet, no.
Oh, I thought you would have been straight on that.
No, I would I would have, but I ain't seen it yet.
Yeah, no, I see on whatever the ITV morning TV show is, whatever it's called now. They had, like, some, like, sort of a comedy writer or journalist on there, and she was just saying, you know, it was really smart and witty and clever with what they'd done, and it had, like, a royal correspondent on there.
Yeah.
Right, well, what's that mean, a royal correspondent?
It's just some, like, someone like Nicholas Witchell that's got his head up the Queen's crack.
But that is it, isn't it? It's just someone that just fucking...
Someone that wants to lick out the Queen but is never going to get to.
Yeah. Yeah. Feels privilege. and he was on there just going, that was disgusting. Like, you know, Prince Charles. And he said, no, you think, sorry, Prince Andrew. No, you think, oh, fuck off.
Yeah, shut up.
Like, I hate morning television shows. Do you know what, this morning...
Just don't turn the TV on in the morning. There's no reason to have the telly on till after lunchtime.
I know. It literally is. Like, when you used to listen to the theme tune to Why Don't You?
Yeah.
They had it absolutely nailed, didn't they?
Definitely.
You just literally see fucking Pip Schofield and fucking... What's her name? Fucking...
Willoughby.
Fucking Holly
How Creeple, is he still Willoughby. On TV after what he did at that runner?
Like, what do you do with that runner?
Bum the runner. Bum the runner.
That's going to be your summer single.
Definitely. Bum the runner. Bum the runner.
Oh, dear.
He's paying PR companies to keep that out of the press.
Really?
Yeah. Gordon the Gopher could tell a thing or two. They put him on the witness stand.
Oh.
Mm.
Just kept him in the broom cupboard, didn't he?
Yeah. Fisted him occasionally.
Right. Should we do the charts?
Yeah.
I've gone for... I've got the second week of January.
Oh, you didn't ask how my Christmas went.
Sorry, how was your Christmas? Well, I've just asked about your fucking chart success.
You know, I had a Christmas as well.
Well, how was that?
It was nice, thanks. Burnt the pigs in blankets, didn't I? I looked like Weston's cock.
Thinking about that one on the way round here, was you?
Oh, yes. I wanted to shorten that in before we do the charts. Spot it a mile off.
Oh, fucking hell. Right, what you got at number one on your chart?
You Can't Hurry Love.
You just have to wait.
Yeah.
Love don't come easy.
It's a game of give and take.
I remember, like, this Christmas would have been the Christmas I got my first record.
Oh, would it?
Yeah, Now One, like, come out.
And yeah.
The first track on the first side of Now One is You Can't Hurry Love by Collins.
He was a laugh then, Collins, wasn't he? Three of him.
Yeah.
One with jacket sleeves rolled up.
Yeah.
Another one in sunglasses.
Like, he just was cheeky, wasn't he, Phil?
He was cheeky, wasn't he?
It's a good cover as well, that.
Yeah.
Don't do anything with it.
No.
But it's great.
Yeah, but I think with a cover version, you don't have to do anything with it. Just don't fuck it up.
Agreed.
It's better to not do anything with it than fuck it up.
What's the best Phil Collins song?
Solo.
Yeah.
Against All Odds.
Yeah, of course it is.
Yeah, it just is, isn't it?
Yeah, it's ace. I did hear Two Hearts on the radio the other day. That's all right.
Was that... That was fucking Holland Dozier Holland, wasn't it? Or Lamont Dozier wrote it?
Really?
Yeah, because I heard it on another podcast.
Yep.
I'm not going to bother. You're just going to get all angry and bitter if I mention it.
I did not know that. I mean, it sounds so Motown, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a cracker, that.
Yeah, it's good, that.
Anything else you want to add to You Can't Hurry Love at number one?
No, I just wish that Collins, you just could have crystallised that moment in time when he was still a laugh before, he become a cunt.
What point did he become a cunt?
I don't know, we've tried to pinpoint that before. Was it Another Day in Paradise when you do a song about homelessness and don't donate any of the money to homelessness?
Just buy yourself a bigger house.
It's basically like fucking Lair Baby's business model. Yeah, oh,
let it go.
He's a sausage roll cunt.
Oh, dear.
Ain't going to be long before he's up in court like Captain Tom's family. Right.
It was only a winter's tale.
Just another winter's tale.
I remember really liking that when I was little.
Yeah, sad song, isn't it?
Yeah. Smacks of Bright Eyes, doesn't it?
It has got a bit of that. Was it actually written by Mike Batt as well?
I think it was. I think you're right.
Mm.
Yeah, it was. We spoke about David Essex. I think we finished off the conversation talking about David Essex, where you said he bent someone over the bins around the back of a somewhere. Yeah.
He could wash his fingers with any amount of industrial bleach and they would still stink of 1970s fanny.
Really?
Come off it. What, Essex in the 70s?
No, I know, but I still think now he could probably get a couple of digits in any kind of fucking
old
bird. Definitely.
But there's a sheer volume of muffs.
Fair enough.
He must have been cramming digits in the 1970s. Well, the gigs, round by the bins.
Who else was there? Cliff, he weren't going near him, was he?
No.
It was down to Essex to pick up the pieces.
Weren't anyone getting fingered at Cliff gigs.
Nah, definitely not.
Well, no ladies, anyway.
Let's move on to...
Who is it, though? Him or Del Boy?
And Renata with Save Your Love at number three. We spoke about Rene and Renata.
You've got them at number three?
Yeah. And then I've got Keith Harris and Orville at four.
I've got Orville at five. You must have... I bet you done the ninth, didn't you, of January? Ninth,
yeah.
As opposed to the one in the middle of the month, we agree.
All right. Okay. Right,
else? You got Winter's Tale at number two then?
Yeah.
I was down to six.
What you got at two?
Down Under by Men at Work, up from seven.
They had pubes.
They did. I had a lot of pubes, didn't they? Bush.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right,
what did you reckon they'd done for work?
Just holding road signs saying stop and go.
You reckon it was stuff like that?
Definitely. Do you know what they call... blokes that wear ivies in Australia? Yeah. I found this out when I went to Australia in 2013.
Right.
Tradies.
Tradies.
Yeah. That's like
tradespeople.
Yeah.
Tradies.
Tradies.
I love the fact that Aussies finish everything with an E's or an O. Yeah, Dano. Where is the tradies?
Because I went and bought these, you know, because obviously you've got to take a big fucking suitcase over there. You can't take too much stuff because I was out there for a month. So I went and bought some, like, work shirts, like, you know, like my Hy-Vee's boiler suit, but just in shirt form.
Yeah.
And one of the Australian comedians came up to me and went, "What you wearing that shirt for, cunt? Everyone's going to think you're a fucking tradie."
Was he calling you cunt, like, because he thought you was a cunt?
You never know with Australians. You could be their best mate or the worst arsehole in the world and you're still cunt.
Oh, love it. Because I'd never thought, like, men at work made it clear what work they were doing.
What their profession was.
Because with Village People, you knew, didn't you? It was like...
Just people around the village, weren't they?
Yeah, but, like, you know, they all had a role.
Yeah.
And, like... Whereas, I don't know, men at work were doing manual labour.
Definitely.
Like, no, if someone sort of put a suit on to go to work, they weren't getting out that fucking two of us alive, were
they? There was no Ponzi's in men at work.
Absolutely not.
They were just men at work.
Exactly. Some Ponzi-nonce coming later.
Do you know what? This was a great time. If you'd have got the right fucking chart here, you got them at number 2 with Down Under. You got Madness at number 10, up from 13 with Our House. Like, I think this was probably prime 1980s bands full of silly blokes mucking about.
Now, that's what I call music. Them tracks are on. All three of them tracks are on it. No, hang on. It's not. No, Madness are on it with something else. I can't feel Madness tracks on it. Sun and the Rain? Or did that come a lot later?
I think, no, Sun and the Rain was after Our House.
Right.
Would it have been House of Fun?
No. Oh, I don't know. I'll have a look later. Well, you speak about Our House, and it's something that I don't know if I mentioned last time, but I made a note to talk about houses that we hung around in when we were, like, younger. Did I mention this?
No.
So, I remember, like, Affafold, like, who basically was our mate that sort of enabled me to make up the 2-1, my dad was 2-1B medical droid. Like,
vicarious, pointless life through your mates.
Yep.
Dad being someone.
Yep. Because his dad was a cameraman on Star Wars, amongst other things. And so he was away on set, like, all over the world. He filmed, like, Raiders of the Lost Ark, Platoon, Flash Gordon. We used to play guns with the guns in Flash Gordon. That's not a lie.
Was Affafold a Jawa?
Yes. No, of course he wasn't, but I told you he was.
You told me he was to justify the lie about your dad being too fucking ill. I sort of still believe that bit.
Oh, fuck off.
No, because they did get the kids of some of the people on the shoot in Star Wars ended up being Jawas. So that you could have carried that lie on. Such
Mark.
A
Mark.
Such a cunt.
Yeah, and I remember, like, going around his ass, and because, like, I'm imagining it was because Dad was always away on location filming. Like, he had loads of cool shit. He had a drum kit.
Did
and,
he?
Like, a motorbike. And, like, his dad done banger racing. They had, like, a banger racing car out the front. I remember thinking, I want to go around there. He had a CB radio. And it was like, fucking hell. And the same with, like, Jamie. Like, when he moved to the sticks, it was like, he had horses, motorbikes, go-karts, guns. Like, we'd go over over his fields and, like, and shoot each other with air rifles.
Where was his dad?
No, he was just at home. Like, he had a few bob. And, like, and we used to play guns. I remember fucking, we used to, it sounds so stupid, we'd get air rifles and, like, and shoot each other. And I remember, like, I had him behind this bit of corrugated iron. Like, it was me and Jamie, and I think, I don't know who it was someone in Barham over the other side.
Was it Moon?
It was probably Moon. And I remember, like, sticking my head up over this corrugated iron and Barham shot me right between the eyes. My eyes are really close together, so it's a good shot. And I remember like getting up and just like fucking, I wish I had like a pump action because I would have just kept walking forwards doing it. But I had one of them air rifles, so we had to stop and like sort of bend down and take one in, try and snap the barrel over your knee to then put a, and then spend ages trying to squeeze this little pellet into it. But yeah, air rifles.
Didn't someone shoot Moon out a tree?
Yeah, it was the same day. Yeah.
How was it?
Jamie did, yeah. It was great. It was Moon, wasn't it? Climbed up a tree. Because I think we was just like desperate to shoot something. And it was like, oh, look, it's a starling. Like, we didn't shoot anything. We was like, apart from Moon, who got up this tree. And I remember just Jamie shot him out of the tree. But one of the houses that we hung out in together, not that much, but I remember like Pazzy's house.
Yeah.
Like, I remember thinking, like, they got a few bob.
Yeah.
Like, you'd go around Pazzy's house, there'd be, like, a soda stream, and, like, and there'd be, like, some sort of M&S food, and, like, a box of Cadbury's Animals, like, nice stuff that, like...
First people to have a brick-built summer house.
Were they?
Yeah.
I mean, that's living, isn't it?
That's living all right.
Like...
These old man was a docker, though. They were all having it away then, weren't they?
Like, what do you mean?
Well, just earning a lot of money.
Oh, right. Like,
from the stuff they took. Right.
But yeah, I remember like, I remember going around there and just thinking like, fucking hell. Like,
yeah.
They're doing all right.
Yeah.
It's a nice bungalow, wasn't it?
Yeah. They did have a good bungalow, didn't they?
Yeah. They had like a big drive, didn't they?
One of them, they had one of them drive round drives.
Yeah,
drive, I mean, not like what you see on Poirot.
No.
But like a little fucking grass verge, maybe like a couple of metres across, but you could drive in one side and drive around the other.
It was basically Southwark if you live in Grays. It was fucking powerful.
But do you remember that they got some people to tarmac their drive that had come round and knocked?
Right.
And the people that did the job of tarmacking their drive they chose that, you know, like that maroon colour that people chose in the late 80s?
Yeah.
With like the little white flecks.
Yeah.
And because they didn't have enough white flecks, as they discovered to finish the job, what the bloke had done was he went over the shop and crushed up a couple of packs of polos. So, like, on a...
Really?
When it rained and was hot, they'd get all flies over their drive.
That's a fucking genius move, though, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, he could have just gone round the garden centre, around the corner, and just got some little white bits of gravel from the fish tanks.
Could have, would have, should have.
Bonnie was only over the road, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Cut a pack for polos.
Exactly.
Cheap. What other songs you got? Story of the Blues is in the top 10.
Yep.
Pete Wiley was looking good when we see him, wasn't he?
We saw him, didn't we?
Yeah.
At the 80s festival.
Yeah. Yeah.
In Ipswich.
He
did all his hits.
How many songs did he do?
A couple. That's all right, no fucking hell.
Yeah.
I mean, not as many as me, obviously, but you know.
You've had more chart success than Pete Wiley.
Do you know what? I feel a little bit bad about that.
It's sinful. Ba-da-da, ba-da-da. I like that one.
Yeah, it's good, that.
Story of the Blues.
That's all right. Good, no?
He was part of a big scene, wasn't he, in that Liverpool scene?
It's very fun. Have you read Julian Cope's books?
No, I don't like Julian Cope, do I?
Oh, nice. I wouldn't read it. I mean, he don't come across as being someone who's not a cunt.
I wish I would have read that before I emailed him.
Yeah. Yeah, you might have known. But it's a really fucking exciting time to be in Liverpool. It just sounds fucking amazing.
Yeah, 100%. 100%.
There's lots of good stuff come out of Liverpool. It's a good place, isn't it?
Yeah, it's fucking brilliant, Liverpool. Like, I really, really like Liverpool. What else do you want to talk about music?
I'm going to read you the top 10.
Right, okay, go for it.
Number one, Phil Collins.
Yeah,
true. Can't Hurry Love. Number two, Men at Work, Down Under.
Blokes.
Number three, Story of the Blues, Mighty Wah.
Number three that got to.
Yep. Number four, Electric Avenue, Eddie Grant.
Oh, I wouldn't rock down to there.
Number five, Orville Song, Keith Harris and Orville.
Nonsense, a puppet.
Move along. number six, David Essex, Winter's Tale.
Mm-hmm.
Number seven, Heartache Avenue by the Masonettes.
Yep.
Number eight, Stepping Out, Joe Jackson.
That's your second best record of all time, isn't it?
He's up there.
Yeah.
Do like Stepping Out by Joe Jackson.
I mean, obviously it's not Easy Lover by Collins and Bailey.
Oh, no.
Like, if you had to pick now, what's your favourite out of Stepping Out or Easy Lover?
Stepping Out.
Something's changed.
What's your favourite Joe Jackson song?
I only know two.
No, you know three.
Is She Really Going Out of Him? Stepping Out.
Different for Girls.
Oh, don't you know that it's different for girls?
Have you heard that lately? It's really fucking good.
I'm going to say that Stepping Out's my least favourite of them three.
Oh, really? Yeah. I mean, it's the most, like, pizzazz.
Yeah. Like,
I really like it.
Oh, that is different for girls. It's got a seedy sound, different for girls.
Yeah.
It's got a really nice bit of production about it, that.
Yeah, but is she going out? Is she really is going she out? Really going out. With him? It's just an anthem, isn't it, for anyone that's seen someone with a better bird than them.
Come on, big fella, we'll be all right. Come on, let's move on. What else you got?
Right. Collins, Men at Work, Wah, Eddie Grant, Keith Harrison Orville, David Essex, Masonettes, Joe Jackson, number 9, The Stranglers.
Yep.
Number 10, Madness. Who's got the biggest cock in the top 10?
Romany Sex Pest, David Essex.
No, he ain't. Who else? I'd rock down to find it. Right. What you got outside the top 10 then?
Friends by Shalamar.
How's that go?
Don't know. what have I got? The theme from E.T., which is obviously a big hit film. Watched it a couple of days ago.
Yeah, oh, it was again, on, wasn't it? Yeah, brilliant. I saw a little bit of it, yeah.
Really brilliant. Incantation.
Did you cry?
Incantation.
You'd have to be a stone cold cunt to not cry at E.T.
It's fucking heartbreaking.
Yeah.
Oh, it's not good. Right. So, I saw a thing called, like, some sort of top of the pop thing. It was like one about the 70s, one about the 80s. An Incantation were on there. Fuck me.
What
a load of cunts. Like,
we talked about them last month, didn't we? This was the song.
Oh, right, okay. You've got to stop pulling that face when you do that. Just blink.
It was a bunch of musos got in a couple of South Americans just to make it all right.
Yeah, I guarantee, to quote you, a couple of them opened the doors of fucking Perception and never managed to shut them, and are now just fucking wandering around fucking Glastonbury Town still, like, with a fucking pan pipe, just people saying, oh, mate, fuck off.
Yeah.
Like,
smelly tie-dye tea.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive and June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive and June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
100%. 100%. What else have I got outside? Mirror Man, Human League.
That was on the way down, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. What's on the way up? I Feel Love by Donna Summer, the Patrick Cowley remix. That's fucking great.
What's the Patrick Cowley remix?
Really, really good. When I had Mark Moore on the podcast from
S-Express,
he chose this, and it was the first time I'd heard that remix of it. It's fucking brilliant. You got to go some to make that song sound any better.
And does it?
It's up there.
So where? How long ago was I Feel Love then? It was only a couple of years ago, wasn't it?
I reckon I Feel Love was 78, 79?
Oh, really?
I don't know. Yeah. I reckon so. Perfect, Matt. I want to talk about Friends by Shalimar. I just want to say that it's like, it's just about like people having friends. And at that age, because we was 10 now. So this is like we've been on the planet 10 years.
Yeah.
Right?
Time to take stock.
I know. And I was just thinking, like, we were like definitely hanging around now a lot. And I was thinking, like, of all the people that we hang around with, we don't really hang around with any of them anymore, do we? And it's weird how friends just come and go, isn't it? And like, and I just think...
Oh, fucking hell, you're not going to put on pan pipes, are you?
Like, but like, going back to that point when you was around with all your, you know, your schoolmates, because we didn't go to school together, like, what did you want to, like, what did you think you was going to do? Like, what did you want to be?
I don't think I ever knew what I wanted to do or what I was going to be. I really just don't think I ever knew. Like even like towards the end of like senior school, you know, like when we were 16 and stuff.
Yeah.
And they were saying about choosing your A levels, and like all I liked was art. That was the only thing I liked. And
I'm mucking about.
Mucking about, but like the thing is now there's A levels in mucking about, aren't there? But you couldn't do it at the time.
I'd love that to be one of my options.
Yeah,
interested in mucking about, please. Yeah,
yeah,
I'd be really good at that.
Have you got one for dicking around? You can't do them both.
What else have I got in the top 40?
What did you know what you was going to be?
No idea.
Did you know in like senior school and stuff?
No, I never knew what I wanted to be. I just knew that like I didn't think I was that good at much, and like
why are you always doing this sob story thing?
No, like, but no,
the little fucking little div kid who.
No, but I weren't like I didn't necessarily get good qualifications. Like you was clever, I weren't clever, and it was like. I don't know what I want to do. And it was like most of my mates went to Ford's or went up London and got like a city job. And I went to college and I first went to a different college because I thought, oh, I better go and get some proper qualifications because that's what you're told you have to do. And I didn't do very well at that. So I went across the road to become a mechanic. And I'm so glad I did because as much as I am a qualified mechanic, that was where all the fun happened, wasn't it? Where we started bands properly and fucking... met our little fucking crew and...
Yeah, hold on, I'm not leaving that hanging in the air as much as I am a qualified mechanic. Like, people are going to start emailing in and asking you to diagnose what's wrong with their car. I'll come round yesterday and then to help you push a Ford KA up and down your fucking road to get it started.
I had to take my car to the garage today because my car's not working. Obviously, I can't fix it myself. And I phoned them up and I went, oh, have you done the analytics on it? And she went, yeah, yeah. She went, I don't know if this will mean anything to you, but it's the blah, 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 blah. I went, yeah, of course I know what that is. And she went, really? I went, no. No fucking idea. And I said, oh, no, and she said, it's like, look, cut to the chase. How much is it going to be? And she went, 70 quid. I went, fucking brilliant. So you just think, like, you never get anything done to your car for 70 quid, do you?
No. Do you know what? Can't we get Crammy Garage to... sponsor this podcast because like they haven't raped me either. Like,
oh really?
Yeah.
Like yeah. Shout out. What are they called?
Cramerville.
No. RGM.
RMT. Oh no, it's McLynch, isn't it?
Yeah.
Crammy
anyway,
Garage.
Crammy Garage. Yeah. In the top 40. What else we got? Kid Creole. Was he just a showman? I think people have had a little look at him.
What?
You know, a little look at what he's up to.
What, Kid Creole? Or is he a rapist?
Well, he's not a kid, is he? Why is he calling himself a kid? Why is he trying to, like... Don't know, just saying. What do you know about him?
That he was black, though, wasn't he? Don't get black nonces.
Oh, right.
That's why Michael Jackson turned himself white so he could fit himself in the kids. Anything else in the charts?
I've got a game.
<You're> got... Is it a good game?
Well, we'll find out. It could be a good game or Danger Games, inspired by the 1982 hit by...
Pinkies?
By the Pinkies, local band. So I'm going to throw some 80s games at you with some 80s celebrities, and I want you to tell me if you think it's a good game... Or a danger game. Musical bumps with Mr. T.
Musical bumps with Mr. T.
Correct.
I mean, he's a strong fella.
Yep.
He's a big old unit.
Yep.
That'd be dangerous to your health. But he loved his mother.
He did.
It was a good game.
Correct. Headers and volleys with Huckleberry Finn and Tom Sawyer.
Oh, good game.
Well, let's keep it 80s American TV shows. A game of What's the Time, Mr. Wolf with John and Punch from Chips.
Good game.
Okay, last one we got here. What have we got? Let's have a little look. Spin the Bottle with Bill Cosby. Films? How have you done for films?
Nothing. Not one fucking job. Not even a movie phone. Nothing. Just now. Zero.
There was a film called Two of a Kind that came out, which was Travolta and John. And it was them, like, the first time that I think they'd been both back in the room.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I remember going to the Thames side to see it.
Oh, really?
I think, or the state. My mum took me.
So what was the premise?
Can't remember. And then it was another film. I did have a look at this. I was talking earlier about this, why there's not no films of note. Do you think everybody just looked at the release schedule and thought, we'll just let this E.T. thing play out for a bit? Do you think so?
Definitely. It's got to be, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. There's a film starring O.J. Simpson called Cocaine and Blue Eyes. And it's just him looking quite no-nonsense in a suit.
I mean, he turned out to be no-nonsense, didn't he?
Yeah, he was definitely no nonsense. Yeah. Did he like the nose bag? I don't know. But that's all I've got on that. And the only other film...
Don't we normally start with films? Good job we didn't, because we ain't really got a lot.
No, it would have been a slow start. There's a film out called Starstruck. If it's anything to do... We done a school play called Starstruck that I was in.
What did you do in Starstruck?
I don't know.
What, in junior school?
No, in senior school. We'd done Cinderella, and the year before we'd done Starstruck. And it was just because I'd done drama, and it was just like...
You was a bit performing artsy, weren't you?
Why are you saying that?
Well, no, because you was in productions.
I was, yeah. Yeah. I felt like I could bring something to the stage.
Hmm.
I was very much like a method actor. Like...
So what did you do in Starstruck then?
I can't remember.
Were you in the chorus?
Probably. But then we done Cinderella and I was an ugly sister. And then I'd done Showboat and I'd done another one at the Thames side.
You wouldn't make a nice trends person.
So what I was going to go with this was with Starstruck was when have you most been starstruck? Have you been starstruck?
Yeah.
Right, come on in, tell me.
The worst example, I don't know if I've talked about this on the podcast, I can't remember, but the worst example was in Edinburgh when I met, have I talked about this on the podcast?
Where you met Police Academies, like that's horrible.
Larville Jones.
You've done sound effects at him, didn't you?
Yeah.
I know you, and I know that's not what you do.
No, I was just so starstruck at meeting Larville Jones from Police Academy. He just happened to walk by. And I just stopped him, and I think he was with his missus as well.
Oh, don't say it again; it's horrible. I feel like I feel like if someone had told me that you'd done that before I'd ever met you, and someone, oh, this is cunt, I'd be like, oh, cool, and I think I don't want to see him again.
If I'd have found out that was a lie about 2-1-B medical droid before I was 15. We wouldn't be here. I'd be here doing this podcast with Sid. He looked really surprised when I did it as well. Like no one's done any of his, no one has ever done one of his noises at him before. It was awful. You know, it just hung in the air. Like he had that look of like, why would you do that?
You must have people coming up to you and go, oh, wank the dog. And like, surely.
Well, yeah, but that's just me, isn't it? Like, it's Larville Jones of Police Academy. Awful.
I remember being really excited when we met Fish from Marillion.
He's a big old lump, wasn't he?
He was, wasn't he? He's got some pubes.
Fuck yes.
Like...
Yeah.
He'd been a good wrestler, Fish.
Definitely.
Good 80s wrestler.
I reckon he would have fitted in the same size costume as Roach.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Roach could have lent him a leotard, couldn't he?
Definitely, definitely. I remember that. That day that we met Howard
Big
Jones.
Fish.
Big fish. Small pond.
Sounds like a British film. Starring Fish from Marillion.
Fish out of water.
I bet he's got a backstage documentary. Called that.
You reckon?
Yeah.
He's got a big fucking piece on him, Fish.
Massive dong.
Yeah.
Looks just like his head as well. He's bowled all round his helmet and his shaft and then just like long straight.
Whoa, we'll get onto this. We got a game coming up for this round, don't worry. When we met Howard Jones.
And his name is Derek Dick.
Derek Dick, yeah. I don't know what Fish from Marillion does anymore. Because he was just in Marillion, then he left, then he had a couple of hits as a solo artist, and then he was just in Viz, wasn't he, as Fish from Marillion?
Yeah. Is he back in Marillion?
I don't think so. Marillion were one of them first bands to do the old Kickstarter thing, weren't they?
Yeah.
I only know two Marillion songs.
Lavender's Blue and Kaylee?
Yeah. I remember Antonio's dad had some Marillion albums. I think there was one on there called Just Another Fuck. And I remember Lee putting it on and we was just like...
Fish said the F word.
Oh, dear.
Kaylee was on the when you work in shops, when I worked in Burton's, Kaylee was on the tape.
Yeah.
That you heard every fucking day about 40 fucking times. Spoiled I didn't Kaylee used to mind it. Yeah, it did ruin Kaylee a little bit.
Was you was there when we first met Rolf, weren't you? When we met him in Tottenham Court Road.
I thought it was around Leicester Square.
Leicester Square, yeah. 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 I remember that blew my mind.
Yeah.
And then obviously the band then met him again in Lakeside. It was such a big fucking thing having a photo. I got a Rolf Aroo joint, drawn by Rolf.
Did you?
Yeah.
You still got it?
Yeah. It's all a bit tainted now, isn't it?
Yeah.
Fucking hell. Anyone else you've been starstruck by? Arthur Mallard.
No, not really. I met the Bee Gees that same day, didn't I? I suppose I was a bit starstruck meeting the Bee Gees.
But, the Bee Gees?
But, like, they was... It weren't like meeting them in the street or bumping into them. They come down to the front of the stage and just sign people's stuff, and I got them a Simon Nitzer Ebb T-shirt. I mean, that was probably, like... Yeah, probably out of everyone, that was the fucking moment that you're like...
Yeah, it's the Bee Gees.
It's the Bee Gees! So I reckon that's the biggest fucking star I've ever seen... In the flesh, like, and actually fucking had any kind of interaction with.
That's as big as it gets, though, isn't it, the Bee Gees?
Who's bigger? I mean, Michael Jackson or Madonna, that top the Bee Gees? Yeah.
Shoulder to shoulder with your Elton Johns and things like that. It's the fucking Bee Gees. They've wrote more good songs than Elton John.
Yeah. I'll put the Bee Gees above Elton John.
Yeah. Yeah, fucking brilliant band. Most of the Bee Gees, apart from Robin, whose hair grew back in the early, late 80s. That was miraculous.
Yeah, like Wayne Rooney.
Like Wayne Rooney and Elton John. Yeah. His hair grew back after Sacrifice. It was fucking incredible. With that in mind, upstairs, downstairs.
Yay.
The rules of this game is, I'm going to tell cunt, a famous 80s celebrity who's famously bald upstairs. I want to know what's going on downstairs. Right. Captain Kirk and TJ Hooker, William Shatner. Famously bald, syrup. What's going on downstairs?
Is he?
Stop it. Is this a night of revelations for you?
He's starting to become that way. Kirk, where's the syrup?
Yeah. How is that news? Come on.
Well, I never knew that.
There you go.
I mean, are you suggesting that he wears a toupee around his cockless, almost undetectable?
I'm saying nothing. This is down to you. I'm asking you the question.
Well, if that's the case, he's got an undetectable syrup that he wears around his cock. It's got like a little circle hole in so that it kind of... He puts wig tape around it and just presses it all around his shaft. Yeah, like a sort of coconut doormat, just nothing to write home about. Just a little bit that sticks onto his bollocks. When they get sweaty, the tape starts to flap a little bit.
Like a kind of fake moustache.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I never worked with fake moustaches. One end of it always just flaps up, doesn't it?
Absolutely.
Like Kirk's merkin.
Ace guitarist and right-hand man to Bono Vox, The Edge.
But The Edge has got a slap head.
Come on.
He's always wearing a hat. How do you know?
That's fucking my favourite rock star, that rock profiles that Williams and Lucas done when they done Bono and Edge. And it's just like, why do you always wear the hat? He went, what hat? And he's like, the hat, it's my hair. And he just kept referring to his hat as his hair. The Edge.
Well, I think The Edge, in a similar smoke and mirrors kind of thing, he's got a little hat that he wears over his cock and bollocks. You know, like a bit like a willy warmer.
Yeah.
That looks and matches his hat upstairs, thus giving the impression that he's got pubes.
Right.
And when he removes it for sex, what he does, he does that thing that Hasidic Jews do. He has a sheet that he puts over his whole body so that just his cock pops through and no one ever finds out he hasn't got any pubes.
Like a little glory old curtain?
Yeah.
Wow.
Just like a little glory old curtain. That's what they call them if you buy them on eBay.
Well, just like living in paradise, let's move on to the next one. Former Van Halen frontman, singer of Jump.
Not David Lee Roth.
David Lee Roth.
He's not a slaphead as
of course
well, is he?
He is.
No, he's got all the air.
No, he hasn't got all the air.
Fucking me up.
No, he lost his air literally just after living in paradise. He lived in paradise for too long and his air fell out.
Is that what happens if you live in paradise too long?
Look at Phil Collins.
That was just another day, though.
Oh, no, but look what happened.
Fucking hell. Lee Roth's got a slap head.
Yeah.
He had that full mane of blonde, healthy hair.
I know, yeah.
Fucking time is cruel. Well, I haven't seen Lee Roth since then, so I couldn't possibly tell. I mean, I just remember his pubes in the heyday would have looked like a member of Twisted Sister with a great big nose.
All right. Okay, the last one. The Innocent Man himself, lover of the uptown girl. He didn't start the fire. Billy Joel.
Well, Billy Joel's cock is much like his face. He's got this little pug nose, like little kind of squashed micro penis helmet, yeah. Tiny little shaft.
Ooh.
He's got some pubes, but he has to trim them back to try and give the appearance that his shaft is longer than it is.
Gotcha.
But his shaft is less than a centimetre.
Wow.
So probably all in with his cock, 3 centimetres absolutely max. And that's why he's no longer with Christy Brinkley. And she got together with Chevy Chase, famously.
Did she?
He just drove past him, turned him on. She was nice, wasn't she?
Cool.
Yeah, tiny little cock. Probably, I would say, if he stuck his cock through a glory hole, it would have to be half-inch ply to get any purchase at all. Like, 3/4-inch ply,
yeah.
He wouldn't even go through. His cock in a mirror looks like Danny DeVito's. They've got the same cock.
Wow. Quite clearly, you'd have to be some woman to love him just the way he is.
Definitely. Wow. Him and Danny DeVito would actually be twins.
All right. Television?
Yeah, what you got?
Right, I've got a few things. It's opening up my thing here. But before we get on with anything, 2 shows were launched in January 1983. And I'm gonna play you a little clip of the theme tunes. And
sounds like you've made a little game out of this.
No, I haven't made a game, but I just think they're 2 of the best theme tunes. And I'm interested to know what you think.
Sharp for kids?
No. Know what this is?
Can I apologise for using the phrase shaft for kids? Hey! For another day. Down the frag of rock. That's a great theme tune. I didn't realise it was that funky.
Yeah. Yeah.
Did you like Fraggle Rock?
I fucking love Fraggle Rock.
Yeah, I like Fraggle Rock.
It's fucking great. Like seeing anything, when you see the Muppet movies and you see Kermit on a bike, it's like when you see Uncle Travelling Matt like wandering around places.
Yeah.
It's weird, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like, I don't like seeing Muppets like out of their comfort zone.
Nah.
It's very strange, but I fucking love Fraggle Rock. I've got, like, Billy had a Clockwork Doozer and it's around my mum's. It's fucking brilliant.
Oh, really? Yeah. What, from back in the day?
Yeah, it's fucking great.
Does it still work?
Yeah. But as much as that's a good theme tune, this show launched, right? Oof, I'll tell you what. As far as fucking theme tunes go, this is a bad boy. This is, we're gonna get a little advert, I'm sure. It's fucking.
In 1972.
Oh yeah.
Was sent to prison by a military court for a crime they didn't commit. These men promptly escaped from a maximum security stockade to the Los Angeles underground. Today, still wanted by the government, they survive as soldiers of fortune. If you have a problem, if no one else can help, and if you can find them, maybe you can hire the A-Team.
Yes.
You can't even see what I can see.
Your face looks like fucking Steve Vai doing a guitar solo. You're enjoying it that much.
Oh, so good.
Do you know what? On Off the Beaten Track, has anyone ever chosen that as the best intro?
It's fucking perfect.
Like that little fucking preamble where they describe them. It just gets you all excited, doesn't it?
Serious problem at that at the start. Yeah, no, I remember. Yeah, fucking gig. It was like fucking brilliant. Like, what a fucking coat of arms that is. Fucking brilliant. Yeah. So the A-Team launched. Can you remember watching the first ever A-Team?
I don't know if I remember watching the first ever A-Team, but I remember watching the... I watched the A-Team avidly.
It was on a Friday night, and it was like a sort of pilot movie.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And all I remember is that scene where you see Mr. T for the first... B.A. Baracus for the first time. And he's driving the car and he's got his arm on a seat and he looks over his shoulder. He's got like that red top on of dungarees and you just think, ooh, shit.
Yeah.
Like, fucking hell. He was the oldest bloke in the 80s, wasn't he?
Definitely.
And like, and I remember just thinking, fucking hell. And I don't think I realised for a couple of years that no one died in the A-team. I remember just thinking it was fucking brilliant. And when they'd like, BA would get his welder out and they'd like just find a couple of dustbin lids and make a tank.
Yeah. They'd always just like burst out with a fucking big fucking shed. Grill on the front. Yeah.
Fucking brilliant. I loved Murdoch.
He made that out of two tuna tins.
Exactly. Like, that's how fucking, you know, they're soldiers of fortune.
Like, I mean, like looking back, Murdoch was mentally ill. And like, without the appropriate care package, perhaps they shouldn't have been springing him from that home. It'd be a different show nowadays.
Someone's got to fly the plane.
In woke times, that'd be a different show.
Like, I know, you can't refer to someone, their nickname can't be Howling Mad Murdoch anymore, can it?
No, it'd be like seriously mentally ill Murdoch.
It's not the same, is it?
Nah, like, you know, you can't spring someone whilst worrying about their care package.
Oh, dear. It's acceptable in the 80s.
Well, face handsome, though.
Oh, he made love.
Definitely.
He didn't know. He could turn it off and on. Like, I reckon a lot of the time, he'd just like have someone in his trailer and just be hanging out the back of it. But then sometimes, like, he'd put in a good day's work and he'd be like, do you know what? I'm going to take her for dinner. I'm going to make love.
Yeah. Like, yeah, I think definitely.
They were the lucky ones.
Yeah.
If Face made love to you, Dirk Benedict.
It even sounds like Dirk Box.
He never made love to a Dirk Box. That was the ones. If you caught him, like, mid-set during the day, he was just going to literally sting you over in your back bum, and that was it. And you know, job done.
Bend one over and cram it in your Dirk Benedict.
Oh dear. Right, so I pulled up the TV listings.
Whip it out and do it on your face.
There was a kids' TV show called Little Big Horn, which I don't want to talk about because that just sounds weird.
It's way too sexy for
mate,
pre-9pm, isn't it?
Not good. But so the Saturday morning show on ITV was called The Saturday Show. Do you remember that?
Did they have Noel Edmonds on?
No, that was Swap Shop.
Mm.
Like ITV. So my memories of ITV shows was like, so this bridged the gap. This was like run for two seasons. This was on after Tiz Was got cancelled. When it would have been, I guess, before maybe number 73 or something like that. And hosted by Tommy Boyd. Like,
he was on number 73 as well, wasn't he?
He was on everything, though, wasn't he? He was just like, he liked a bit of, like, kids' entertainment, didn't he?
He weren't a nonce, Tommy Boyd.
No, I wasn't saying he was.
He ended up on Talk Radio before it became Talk Sport.
Right.
He had a brilliant fucking show on Talk Radio, Tommy Boyd. Like, this was when I was working for the council. So I'd make a point of just being, like, in a minibus or somewhere where I would listen to his show. I listened to his show every fucking day when I worked for the council, and he was not a nonce.
Right. Busy at work?
Working for the public sector, isn't it? It's just no one's got any targets. Everyone's just like ambling around aimlessly because no one has to make any profit and it's all been paid for by the taxpayers. Biggest fucking waste of all our money.
What you got in the back of that minibus, mate? A load of youths? No. A couple of fucking photocopiers, like paper cutter.
I'm just stealing a laminator and I'm going to drive around to Tesco, fill up the bus and get all the points on my own club card.
Oh, fucking hell. Hosted by Tommy Boyd and Isla St. Clair.
Hmm.
She disappeared, didn't she?
Did she? What, she actually disappeared?
No, but like, because she was good game, wasn't she? She was.
She was, wasn't she?
She was on, she was old Bruce's sidekick, wasn't she?
Was she Larry Grayson's as well?
Oh, maybe she was Grayson's and not Brucey's. She was like a bit of a Scottish sweetheart, wasn't she?
Yeah. In the Grogan mould.
I think Isla St. Clair was a little bit more sort of, a bit more of a librarian. I think you probably have to, you know, wine and dine and not 69. Isla Sinclair.
Oh, really? Do you reckon Gro going to be upside down before you can say, here's your afters? And that's why I should never be on your podcast.
That's my first thought. Oh, I'm going to marry her. Right. Then I wanted to talk about The Price is Right, because that was on.
Before you go to that, do you know Children's ITV was actually launched in January 83?
I didn't.
Yeah.
Wow. It feels to me like, I thought that was like 90s.
Nah, Children's ITV went on Wikipedia. Do you know what it was previously known as?
Go on.
Watch It. You think that'd be like the BBC with Savile and Harris?
Watch It.
Watch It. just watch it, mate.
Yeah, 100% watch it. People don't say that anymore, do they?
Nah.
Oi, watch it.
Watch it. Everyone's just like, fuck off.
No. If you don't watch it, mate, I'll be over there. Nowadays, if you don't fuck off, mate, yeah, kick you out the fucking ass. All right. Yeah. Hashtag watch it.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
So your Fripp's Privilege mug?
I really like my Fripp's Privilege mug.
Good, damn it.
Yeah, I'm fucking well pleased with that. It's on my little mantelpiece in the bar, isn't it? Yours is up in your little...
up in the shed, yeah.
Yeah, looks fucking great. So The Price is Right was on, and it made me think of something. And I remember, like, it'd be all right on the night, being, like, this thing that'd be on, like maybe twice a year.
Yeah.
And I remember, like, my mum and dad being like, yes! And it'd be, yeah, like, Dennis Norton, wouldn't he? Norden. And he'd be there with like a clipboard going. Yeah,
he'd have a clipboard. He'd be literally pissing his pants as he introduced each thing.
A really bad anecdote. And like, but I remember thinking, oh, brilliant, this is going to be hilarious.
Yeah.
And all I remember is like once seeing something, and it might even have been on like, somehow I got to see like Candid Camera or something like that. But it was the American version of Price is Right. And this woman comes like, and it's like, no, 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 come on down. And as she goes running down, her tits fall out her top. And like,
best show ever.
And I remember every time it'd be all right on the night I'd be on, I'd be like, yes. And I'd literally, like, by the end, if it weren't them tits coming down and Price is Right, I'd be like, oh, fucking hell. Like, I'd just wait the whole thing on the off chance that I might just see, like, Leslie from fucking Wisconsin fucking coming down the stairs with a big old fucking Charlie's falling out of her dress. Never saw it again.
Is that on YouTube?
Must be. Must be.
Whoa.
I know.
I'm doing when I get home.
Right, okay. We can talk about... the Saturday show, I wanted to talk about... Have we ever really spoke about our Saturday routine?
I think we might have a couple of years ago before we started describing snooker players' cocks.
One in the pink and one in the stink coming up very shortly. Because we would, what time would we get up and go? I mean, I remember thinking we'd watch whatever the early morning thing would be on a Saturday. And I remember thinking we went out at 10 o'clock. Because I remember we'd walk a really surreal way, wouldn't we? We'd walk right out of the way.
We walked the way that we were told to walk down to Grace, which I think my mum concocted through being the least amount of roads to cross.
You think so?
Yeah. It was the opposite of the Jimmy Cliff song. Do you know what? I've just fucking remembered, and I suppose this would be around the time that. Do you remember when we fucking designed the Action Force?
Yeah.
Action Force had just come out, hadn't it? Had that come back, we just sat there fucking drawing and we were designing things for Action Force, weren't we?
And we designed not a jetpack, but you put it on his back, but it had a propeller above it, didn't it?
Yeah.
Like a kind of heli, whatever we called it.
Yeah.
And we sent it to Action Force,
Palatoy. No, but it weren't, it was that and a skidoo.
That's right.
The fucking, the snow skidoo.
Yeah.
And then we were sat there just... Or was I sat there watching... No, we were both fucking sat there watching Saturday morning TV before we went out to meet to go down Grays.
And an advert come on. We weren't together. We were in our own houses, weren't we?
And it had the fucking... The snow patrol with his skidoo.
Yeah.
And I rung you up, didn't I? Have you seen that advert? And it was our fucking design and they used it.
I think I rung you and it was engaged because you was ringing me.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
Because I remember just thinking, fucking hell, this is our thing. And it was just I remember being really excited and telling my mum that we was going to do you know what? If they would have just said, we'll send you one, I would have been happy with that.
Yeah.
It wasn't we was going to slick our hair back and fucking see him in court, was it? They did rip us off.
Yeah, do you know what? I found out that Bob Breakin, one of the Palator designers, does all the rounds at the conventions now, so I'm just going to go and confront him.
I bet he's really old.
He's about 80.
Just fucking go straight through the middle of the building on a skidoo and just smash it straight through his cum face.
Well, no, he's fucking... He apparently, I'm sure we fucking talked about it. He modelled the, the Action Man gripping hands. He modelled that on his own hands.
That's cool, isn't it?
Yeah. So, I'm going to get a life-size one of them, to put it over my own hand and just go and smash him in the face. Go, that's for the skidoo.
but we would I remember because we were walking to town every weekend, weren't we? And we'd go out of the way and then we'd always sort of try and get so we could go past the House of Essex.
See if they had any Star Wars figures. Yeah. But they never always had Star Wars figures, did they?
Nah, it was a proper fucking budget shop, wasn't it?
Yeah, but with them little fucking plastic baskets all on little floor and little low-rise shelves. So that week they had Zuckus.
Made no sense.
No, it made no sense,
still
did
the greatest day of my life.
Yeah, likewise.
And then we'd just go and buy some chips, wouldn't we? Or soup.
Yes, if we wanted a Star Wars figure, we'd have to have soup, wouldn't we? Soup was 35p and left with just enough money for a Star Wars figure.
It's weird, isn't it? Because we'd buy that soup, then we'd sit across the road, just staring through the windows of the library.
Yeah.
And that's where Paz wrote Bookworm, didn't he? In the condensation. That was really offensive. Oh, fucking hell. And then we'd literally go into Woolworths, John Menzies, and occasionally we go across the railway lines, wouldn't we, and go to the joke shop.
Oh, yeah.
A joke shop. How good's that?
Yeah.
You don't get joke shops anymore, do you?
No, because everyone who runs them has been done for paedophilia.
One in the pink or one in the stink?
Might as well, mightn't we?
It was over there, like where the joke shop was, because you had to cross the sort of railway lines and go into like the real hood of where we live. And I remember going over there, and it was like, it was dangerous over there, wasn't it?
Yeah, cross the railway lines was a different world, wasn't it?
And like, it was Ducky Boy territory, wasn't
it? I was going to say exactly the same thing.
And like, and you go over there. And like, that was when I remember that girl walked across the field and just went to me, "Do you want a sex fight?" And I was petrified, but probably had a stiffy and was just like, "No." And I was thinking, what's a sex fight?
And nowadays I would say yes, just to see how it panned out.
Yeah, exactly. But I was really scared because I was on the wrong side of the tracks.
I wonder whether it would be like that, you know, that video that Ross sent you of just that dwarf woman like headbutting you in the stiffy.
I don't know what's worse about that. Just the nature of what you've just said, or the fact that you went, "Ross sent it." Oh, dear. One in the pink or one in the stink. It's a simple game. Front bum, back bum. So I'm going to put to you today some 80s soap stars.
Right.
And they're all gentlemen. And I'd like you to tell me whether you think they're going to go for the more traditional vaginal front bum sex in the pink. Or
classic intercourse.
Classic intercourse. You know where you're staying with it.
Yeah.
Or they're going to be a little bit more maverick, a little bit more naughty, a bit dirty, and they're going to go in the stink, a.k.a. the back bum.
Anus.
Pete Bill.
Do you know what? Pete Bill is a little bit were, he's a little bit way.
But he sold fruit and veg on a market stall.
Exactly. It's a banana and a couple of apples, isn't it?
Yeah.
All day long.
Yeah.
He's a conventional bloke, though. He's a fanny man, Pete Bill.
Okay. Okay.
Up the chuff.
All right. Grease Monkey Mechanic, Corrie's Kevin Webster.
Got that big moustache.
Pint size.
He's pint size, so he's not going to... His cock is proportionally smaller, so he's not going to be able to get the purchase on a traditional fanny. There was a lot of fellas had the same tash in the Village People, so I'm going arsehole.
Oh, okay, okay, right. Dez from Neighbours.
Dez. Oh, I remember Dez, yeah.
Daphne passed away. He was a bit lonely.
But when Daphne passed away, what he missed most, he missed the companionship and he missed her flange. So he's going to go up a lady's fanny all day long.
Fair enough. Fair enough.
He's not going to soil her memory by starting to go for the old stovepipe at his time in life.
Okay. Last one. Leslie Grantham's character, Dirty Den.
Well, the clue's in the name.
You said it.
He was dirty.
Yeah.
And he proved on the internet he was dirty. Like, he was sucking his finger and that into a webcam, wasn't he?
He was.
He's an arsehole man all day long.
Is he?
He likes nothing better than to go out of Germany with the army, murder a taxi driver, and then fuck some brass up the arsehole and probably leave her in a ditch.
Sport?
With a bouquet of daffodils.
News.
I had something else about TV.
God, we got.
But you never asked me if I've got
any... Because you don't do any prep.
I do all the prep. I do all the prep that you do.
Right,
but just without the games. Well, I had something else on TV. BBC's Breakfast Time started. It was the first breakfast show.
Was that before TVAM?
It said on Wikipedia it was the first breakfast show. But I think TVAM had already started at this point, hadn't it?
It must have, because you made me laugh a lot last month by going, "Yee, Red Man!"
It can't have been Road and Rap.
Well, that was TVAM. That's why he was famous.
Yeah. Apparently BBC's Breakfast Time started. Don't think I've searched January 1982, do you?
Have you?
Don't know.
I think you might have. I remember TVAM being first, I'm sure. What was BBC One? Was that Selena Scott?
It was Right, here we go. BBC's Breakfast Time mixed hard news with accessible features, creating a cosy feel with sofas and bright colours. The presenters typically wore casual clothes instead of formal suits, in contrast to the regular news broadcasts. Frank Boff, Selena Scott and Nick Ross anchored the show, with regulars such as Russell Grant and... Diana Moran, also known as the Green Goddess, due to the colour of her leotard.
That's like... She was like a poor man's Mad Lizzie, wasn't she?
Yeah. Yeah, but who came first? It was the Green Goddess, wasn't it?
Maybe.
We talked about Frank Boff before.
I'm sure you would have. What do you want to say about Frank Boff?
Do you know...
Did he get done?
Didn't get done. He got caught, didn't he?
Is he dead?
He's only just dead. He only died like November 2020, I think.
Right.
But so he was a really well-respected kind of, you know, BBC presenter, public school educated, well-spoken, shirt and tie. Something to have an open neck shirt on breakfast time because they liked a more relaxed feel.
Yeah, creates a cosy atmosphere.
Yeah. So some coloured sofas. 5 years later, after this, so here he is, fronting BBC's flagship Breakfast Time. 5 years later, he's pictured in a dungeon, in a lady's basque, cock sticking out the side, clamp on the end of his cock, jump leads going to a car battery, whilst David Rappaport and one of the midgets from Willy Wonka in the nude kick him in the nuts.
How much of that have you just made up?
About a third.
I remember he was too sexy for his own good, wasn't he?
Just a very sexy man, and it all unravelled for him, didn't it? It was his downfall in a lot of ways, like Michael Hutchins.
Some people are just too sexy, aren't they?
They are. Who's the other pedo, Dilboy or Cliff? Sport?
You got
any events?
There weren't a lot.
I've got an event.
Oh, what you got?
31st January. Seatbelt use for drivers and front seat passengers becomes mandatory. Do you remember that?
Yeah. Do you know what? I remember just like so many are like, Dad, yeah, fuck off.
But they were all the same people who said, well, I drive better when I'm pissed. Like my dad.
Yeah. I reckon it was a load of, I ain't fucking wearing that went straight through a windscreen many times.
I found this fucking... Do you know what? I remember being at a New Year's Eve party. So this would have been New Year's Eve 40 years ago, like 1982 going into 1983. Right. And the posters being up, down the Gasball Club. Yeah. And the posters being up saying, this comes into force on New Year. And the clunk click and that. But I was having a little Google, Dan. There's all the fucking clunk click adverts with Jimmy Savile. Have you seen them?
No.
There's one where he's like sat by the hospital bed of this bloke who's gone through the windscreen.
Right.
And this bloke's just fucking laying there with Jimmy going to him, oh, I bet you wish you'd put your seatbelts on, don't you? Like this. And I'm like, yeah. And he's got like just all this fucking dents in his head and that.
Well, he just like blink him, like fucking, what do you call it? What's the fucking stuff you do with a beep, 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 SOS?
Just trying to blink a warning. Yeah.
Please keep him away from me. He popped in to see me at 3 a.m. Eurythmics released their breakthrough second studio album, Sweet Dreams Are Made of This.
Oh, did they?
On January the 4th. There's a picture of Dave Stewart here. He's not got a likeable face, has he? Margaret Thatcher visits the Falkland Islands. Bet they're pleased to see her.
Not half. Cracked open the corned beef for her.
Bully beef. What else we got? They tried to ban boxing, citing Muhammad Ali's deteriorating condition. Shame, isn't it?
What happened to Muhammad Ali?
Well, no, you know, that was Parkinson's, but I don't know if it was brought on by...
being smashed around the head repeatedly.
Possibly.
Although he probably dodged it more than most, didn't he?
Exactly, exactly. American Music Awards, Olivia Newton-John got a big win. Don't know what that would have been for. I suppose, would that have been Grease come out the year before? No, Grease came out in 78. She wouldn't have won an award for Let's Get Physical, surely. Xanadu?
Yeah, was it Xanadu? Yeah. No, that was like 1980, wasn't it?
Not sure. American
Tidy Muff.
Rest in peace. Olivia Newton-John.
Didn't Cliff pretend to be interested in her for a while?
There was rumours. Rumours, a couple of sweethearts, weren't they? Like, boy next door, girl next door. Bjorn Borg announced his retirement at 26.
Did he?
5 times Wimbledon champion.
What'd he do, go and open a pub?
he was fucking cool, Bjorn Borg, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Like, wore fucking proper cool sweatbands. What else we got? Dan Under hits number one. The Golden Globes. E.T. clears up. Other wins for Ben Kingsley. Would have been Gandhi, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Have you seen
that yet?
Gandhi?
Yeah.
Nah.
Racist.
In an effort to reduce driving deaths, a new law in the UK requires drivers and front seat passengers to wear seatbelts. It weren't in the back, was it?
No.
Well, I forgot about that.
You had to wear your seatbelt in the pink, but not in the stink.
Yeah, absolutely.
No, in the back didn't come until like the 90s or something, did it?
Something like that, wasn't it? I've got to be honest, I still don't wear them in the back.
Nah. Like, well, don't need to, do you?
Ah, fuck it.
A lot safer without it.
Absolutely. Right, well, look, we've got some...
There's no alarms in the back, is there?
No. Gavis can't see in there either. Right, so I'm going to finish on news with a bit of Ponce or Nonce.
Yeah.
And then we've got a little bit of sport to do.
Do you have any sport?
Yeah.
Oh, great.
Right, so Ponce or Nonce. I think, you know, we don't need to explain this one. First up...
you should explain it. We might have a new listener.
It does what it says on the tin. I mention a variety of 80s celebrities... to cunt, and he has to tell me what he thinks they are. Midieu.
I don't think that you could come up with one celebrity that you haven't come up with already at some point in the last 8 months or whatever of doing Ponce or Nonce.
Midieu.
I'm going to play along like I've never mentioned Midieu before.
Thanks, mate.
Midieu. See, when I think of Midieu, I think of him in like that classic Ultravox time of Vienna.
Yeah.
So.
He's got that long coat on, hasn't he?
He's got that long coat on.
Yeah.
That little tash.
Yeah.
He's just hanging around in black and white, hasn't he?
Wandering around Vienna.
Yeah.
Like, what's he doing?
Yeah.
Who's he looking for?
Yeah, why are you looking all old-fashioned?
Yeah.
Who are you waiting for?
Yeah.
But then again, it was of the time, wasn't it? The new romantic era, Ponce.
Yeah. I don't think he was going to do anything. The feeling had gone.
Yeah.
Mancunian front person of...
I can't hear front without thinking bottom.
Singer from Mancunian legends, The Smiths, Morrissey.
Morrissey. Hung around outside Salford Boys Club when he was in his 20s. In a Cardi. What are you doing, mate? Oh, mind you, with that quiff and that fey manner. Ponce.
Okay. 80s songsmith, Lloyd Cole.
Perfect skin. A teenager's bollocks. That'd cause a commotion. But no, it was just the time. Ponce.
Oh, okay. Last one. The bloke with a beard from Godley and Cream.
Makes me want to cry.
Sport. January 1983, Farrah Carriers Running Club reopened.
I like Godley and Cream. I keep picturing him with a little boy's cock and bollocks under his thumb.
Farrah Harriers Running Club reopened in January 1983. New member, Tilbury-based athlete Lee Antonio, desperate to redeem himself in September 1983 Sports Day after coming last in...
You're determined to carry on this vendetta, aren't you? You know, it upsets one person enough to make up for everyone else going, like, why is he carrying this on?
I looked at UK sport, and all there was in January was snooker and darts.
There's a lot of snooker, though, wasn't there?
Yeah. Yeah. And there's a lot of arrows going on at the moment. Like, it's all happening at the Alley Pally, isn't it? What sport? I mean, they're both fucking sports for fellas, aren't they?
Well, the snooker, 1983 Benson and Edges Masters, is sponsored by fags. Yeah. Could it be any more manly than that?
No.
Like, basically, play this, you might get cancer, but fuck it.
None of them wore seatbelts going to matches.
God, no.
No chance.
Did you look at the snooker results?
No.
So there was two snooker competitions. There was the Benson Edges Masters, and then there was like the 1983 Larder Classic.
What, sponsored by the motor?
Larder, yeah. Not by the room in your house where you keep food. But in the second one, fuck's sake, honestly. There was fucking Thorburn, yeah. Werbenick, Stevens.
Kirk Stevens had it off a lot.
Definitely.
Cliff Thorburn's moustache, I can't help but think he made love.
Oh, I don't know, I can imagine, he was quite a kind of stiff, uptight bloke though, Cliff Thorburn. I can imagine, I don't know if he did make love. I think he was purely monogamous with his wife. He'd never cheat when he went away on these tournaments. And then he would go home and he would just munch on his wife's rug and get all fanny batter in that little neat moustache of his. But the other two, I can imagine Stevens, he was good looking, Stevens, yeah, wasn't he? Very clean cut, very smooth faced. And then he had that long hair as well, didn't he? Like from the back, he could be mistaken for a woman. And you had Werbenick, who was the opposite, when he was like grizzly and had that big tash. He'd be drinking and smoking all the time. I can imagine they share a room. Stevens in one single bed, Werbenick in the other. Werbenick wakes up in a kind of pissed haze halfway through the night, and he looks over and he sees like that long hair in the kind of pink nylon duvet that you would have had in the early 80s, and he's like confused, and he just goes over and just like pins Stevens down, and like he's a bit drunk and he stinks of fags, and just like
pots the bram.
He pots a difficult bram. Put it, Stevens ain't sharing with him again, is he?
Nah.
He's back in with Thorburn.
Yeah, of course he is. You know you're having a good night's sleep now.
Yeah. He's that boring, Thorburn.
What sport do you think you need the most pubes for?
Hammer throwing.
Fucking great. Do you learn that by like just losing your rag on sight? Fuck your gosh, you cat son, just fucking launching a fucking club hammer across the sight.
I think in the 70s there were like Olympic talent spotters all round building sites just waiting for some fucking big fat geezer to lose his rag.
The full fucking talent scout.
That's how they found capes, wasn't it?
Yeah.
He was a hog carrier.
Just lost his rag and bent a scaffold tube around his neck.
No, that was it, wasn't it? He lost his boat, in the mud and got a fucking boot in.
Oh, that's fucking brilliant. Yeah, hammer throwing. It's like, you're never going to learn that in PE, are you?
No.
How fucking good would that have been?
You should, though.
Absolutely. They got loads of hammers in, like, the fucking woodwork rooms and that.
Yeah.
Just give everyone a club hammer, send them out on the field and see who can lob it the furthest.
Definitely.
Imagine that. You fucking... I reckon, if I'm out hammering in a 6-inch nail with a lump hammer, and I miss and I hit me thumb, I reckon I can shout mother's cunt and launch a fucking club hammer 50 metres.
Definitely. That's the loudest I've ever shouted cunt. Was when I was building my shed up the end of the garden. You know, like, it's just going dark and you're just putting, like, the last nail in.
Yeah.
And, like, just fucking, I hit my thumb. I reckon everyone up my street heard it. Cunt! And it goes, like, you know, on the cartoons.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I bet everyone down my street just heard that. Which is great, seeing as it's 11:05 at night. Oh, dear. There was a bit of skiing going on in Europe.
Oh, was there?
Yeah. I mean, I know snow spray and stuff like that's a sore subject for you.
Oh, the sport. I thought you meant wanking two fellas at once.
No. You've never been skiing, have you?
Well, I haven't wanked two fellas at once. One's my limit.
You've never been skiing, have you?
Nah.
No, I ain't.
Ain't ya?
No.
Should we go skiing?
I don't think we'd be any good at it.
No, we'd be shit. Have you ever wanted to go skiing?
Not really.
No, I've got no fucking interest in it.
Right, I think...
Why are you scared of danger spots?
I'm not. I think, like, if I went to a big hill and snow, I'd be like...
Sledge.
They're fucking brilliant, aren't they, sledging?
Well, I stand when you can sit. Well, I sit when you can lie. Toboggan.
There you go. Exactly.
Let's go tobogganing. What, we don't want to ski?
Do you imagine?
No, I ain't scared.
How ridiculous. Why's your voice gone all like? You would look in a toboggan. It'd look like what you look like on your BMX when you was 19. Just fucking massive.
We'd just get one that's the same size as you, wouldn't you? Should have got a mountain bike, shouldn't I, really?
Yeah, you should have. Oh, fucking hell. Sledging was great, though, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Like, did you own a sledge, or did you just old man just build one for you?
Nah, I don't know. No, I had, like, a plastic sledge at one point.
Yeah.
My old man nicked a load of fucking, like, rock salt grit from, like, the council had a depot with it all just fucking left there. And my old man loaded up the back of his truck with it. So do you remember me and you went out and cleared drives?
Down your road?
Because people, you'd knock and say, can we clear your drive for 50p? And people would go like, no, you're right. And we took a sledge with rock salt And we'd loaded off the back of my old man's truck. And when you go like, they go like, no, you're right. And we're like, we've got salt. People will be like, yeah. And so you clean the drives, put a bit of salt down, fucking made a couple of quid.
It's a lot of graft, wasn't it, for not a lot of money?
Yeah, it was a lot of graft. Worth it for a Star Wars figure, though, wasn't
it? Of course it was. Yeah, that was our only Hoth adventure. I'm going to finish. Have you got any sport?
No, I've done all my sport.
Okay.
Well, basically, Kirk Stevens being raped by Bill Werbenick. That was my sport.
Well, let's finish on a little game. I'm going to pick some 80s athletes.
Yep.
And I want to know, when they're at home, with or without their partners, is it porn hub or are they porn snub?
Right.
Dennis Taylor.
See, Dennis Taylor, his glasses were upside down. So I'd imagine that he would like to watch people 69ing. Pornhub.
Okay. The Crafty Cockney, Eric Bristow.
With a nickname like the Crafty Cockney, I'd imagine you'd like to kind of go into a small room in the house, like an ensuite or a laundry room, and just avail yourself of some real fucking horrible hardcore grot. on a device, but watch it on private mode so you knew that no one would be able to see what you watched.
Right.
Like, probably just, like, some middle-aged rotter getting licked out by an Alsatian. Or some fella banging an horse.
Pornhub?
Hub.
Okay. Britain's finest, lovable Frank Bruno.
Frank Bruno. In a lot of ways, Frank Bruno, he was a lover, not a fighter.
I know, but just imagine he's just won the heavyweight championship of the world. He's had people fucking all over him. He's had, like, fucking the crowds are all shouting. And then all of a sudden, through the crowd, he just hears this chant, Frank, have a wank.
He's given so much for everyone else. They just want him to have a moment to himself.
Take a bit back, Frank.
So, he don't necessarily want to, but I would say he probably goes backstage. And would this be in the 80s? So, there wouldn't be the internet ready, you know, at your fingertips.
You're saying Frank's going top shelf?
I'm saying, yeah. Yeah, his trainer, Mickey Most, has put one in his bag for him. And Frank goes down inside his head bag. He pulls it out. It's Fiesta Reader's Wives.
Right.
He opens it up. It's some old rotter in her 50s, Pauline from Darlington. She's got one leg up on the bath and all her saggy beef curtains are hanging down in all their glory. And you know what I mean, Harry. He does the business.
Hub.
But only because they chanted him into doing it.
Tessa Sanderson.
Oh, Tessa Sanderson. I never really thought of Tessa Sanderson as a very sexual being. But now you mention...
Big poing around constantly.
Yeah, now you mention it. She's grasping that shaft all day long. So I reckon she gets back to the changing room. She has a shower and, like, in washing herself, she's aroused something in herself. Her nipples start to stand proud. And before you know it, she's got two fingers in that Turkish delight and she's frigging away like a good one to a picture of Fatima Whitbread. Up.
See you in February.
Bye. Remembering when we were young in the 80s.